Hey, you, over there. Yeah, little Casey from Playtime wanted me to tell you that every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, he hosts Storytime. It's where he reads us stories, and it's super fun, and I want you to join me. Also, little Casey from Playtime wanted me to tell you that every other Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, he hosts Game Time, where he plays a new game every other Saturday, and you can either watch or participate. I can't play games, but you can play games, so I want you to go with me. Where can you get more information? You can go to playground.playtime.co for the Discord server, or twitch.tv/playtimeco for the Twitch feed. Will you join me? Okay, great. I'm gonna go back to my seat. Bye!
Hello, 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 and welcome to Newsy's Nook, a podcast where you can sit and relax while I try not to wet my pants. I am your host, Newsy Baby. How was your weekend? Did you do anything fun? I had a fun weekend. I went to what I thought was going to be a silent disco party. If you don't know what silent disco parties are, they're basically, you go to this area like a club, or sometimes they have like them on piers, which I think is kind of cool. And they hand out headphones, and basically you hear what the DJ is mixing, but there's no speakers. You just hear it in the headphones. So I thought it was going to be disco music, because the gay club we went to kind of has that like old 80s, 70s vibe to it. So I was like, oh, it's going to be disco. So we go to dinner. We have a nice dinner, my boyfriend and I, and then we get to the club early so I didn't have to pay a cover because she's cheap. And when the DJ finally arrived and they were handing out headphones, I put the headphones on and I was like, oh, this is just top 40 music. This is just pop music, which was like still fun. He had like really good remixes. I thought it was like a good flow, a good set, but I was just kind of like, ah, I wanted disco music. I didn't go padded, unfortunately, which was problematic because I basically waited in line for the bathroom like every three songs. But I did wear diapers the next day because I was hung over as fuck. So I was hydrating the whole time the next day because I was just so hungover. My one wish soon is to go to a diaper rave or like a diaper dance party. Maybe I'll get my wish at EDC. I know a few diaper boys that are going. If you're going to EDC in Las Vegas, please message me. I would love to hang out. Message me. This week in Newsy's News, Lights Out, Barks Out in Columbus, Ohio looked like a great success. You may remember DJ Jake Maxwell, who puts on the event, was on the show a couple weeks ago. Some of the great reviews include, I've always been curious about becoming a furry, and Lobo was my first furry event. I felt an electric surge of freed inhibition flow through my body as I looked around at all the cute furries and pups. Another review said, I went to Lobo with my boyfriend and we danced nonstop, had cheap drinks and met good people. I felt pretty safe there and we definitely will go again. Another review said, Lobo brought the energy that Ohio really needed. I got to see a whole club filled with diversity of body sizes, genders, sexualities, and ethnicities. Lobo welcomed everyone and didn't fall short of what they came to do. To give you a firsthand experience, here is my conversation with Dylan from Recess Time about his experience at Lobo. Dylan, did you have a good time at Lobo?
I did. It was really loud. It was amazing. And I got to see tons of diaper butts and pups.
Were they like new faces, old faces, familiar faces? Like who came to this event?
Literally everybody. Actually, there was like a wedding crew there too, which was really funny. But
a wedding crew? Like someone, like a bachelor party?
Yeah. It was super funny. Like, I saw a whole bunch of chicks there that were just, like, all up in their, like, white dresses and stuff. And they were, like, all glowy because of the black lights. It was really funny.
Did they know that it was a kink party? Or they just stumbled on in thinking, like, oh, it's just another day at a bar?
I have no idea. But, like, they were getting down.
Interesting. What did they say about the pup hoods and the diapers? Or it didn't faze them?
I don't think they said anything really, but I looked over and they were like, they like one of them made eye contact with me. I was like, "Wow!" I was like, "Okay."
Nice. Cool. So there was a like so there was a good group of diaper butts, pups, furries.
Yeah, there was at one point in the night there was a whole diaper train of just diaper butts and pups just like going through the club. And they were in the middle of the floor, so like all the lights were on them, and they were just making like their presence known.
Aw. Did you leak?
No, thank gosh, but I did have to I had to get my daddy to like go grab a new diaper at one point. And I
Aw.
was like, I'm gonna need you to like hurry up so I don't like leak. And then like he just like tied my leash off somewhere so I couldn't walk away.
He like tied you to a pole or something? Oh.
I just like stood spot dancing with my leash. I was like, yay.
That's fun. Did you meet any new people that you're gonna hang out with later?
Oh, yes. And then I learned real quick, I do not know most of these people's faces without their hoods on. And so it was really, really funny because they're like, hey, this is me. I went, oh, okay.
Yeah, that happens all the time when I go to Diaper Active in LA is I'll meet people and they're like, "We follow each other on Twitter." And I was like, "We do." And then they'll show me their Twitter and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, I've never seen your face before."
And so, like, we had a couple of people who were like, I was super scared to like be diapered up, so I didn't take my pants off, but like I was super happy to see all these diaper butts like running around. It made me feel really comfortable, really safe. So by the end of the night, I felt comfortable enough to like take them off so I could be in just a diaper. I was like, yes.
Did you have a favorite remix of the night?
I kissed a girl.
I kissed a girl. Oh, the Katy Perry song.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, fun, fun. And then you were also there repping Playtime. Were you like giving out t-shirts and stuff?
Yes, I was. So I let the Lobo staff get their pick of what they want first because they would be running around and like have to be adults, kind of. So I let them get their stuff first. And then I kept sending off my friends to go bring more people to the table to get to grab something or just to talk to me. And like Playtime gained like additional like 50 followers, and I was like, yes. And then we had a whole bunch of people like take pictures with us.
Who had the most extravagant getup?
Ooh, that's really hard because like there was, I mean, everybody brought their A game. Like nobody showed up to Lobo with like little effort to it. It was like everybody was like all dressed up, padded up. I mean, people were bringing like light shoes. People were bringing like those light stick things that you wear and stuff, and like we're passing them all out. Nobody was like didn't put any effort in. I mean, everybody was like A team on this. I was so amazed.
Fun, fun. When's the next Lobo event?
Our next Lobo event in Columbus is May 6th because we've actually booked Lobo for Columbus for the full year because it was that massive.
Wow. So, wait, give it to me again. So, when's the next one?
May 6th.
May 6th.
May 6th at 9 p.m.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Dylan. Ha! It's no secret that I'm a mega soaker. Sometimes I just put on a diaper, drink a little water, and bam, I'm leaking all over the place. And I'm left thinking, is it me? Am I the soaker? And then I found North Shore's Megamaxes. Have you seen them? They say they can last up to 12 hours. 12 hours! I know! And they come in a variety of colors like white, pink, tie-dye, and blue. My favorites is blue. And the best part is, it's anti-odor, so I can be my little stinker self all I want. If you want to get your grabby hands on them, just look in the show notes of this episode. I got you. It's like what North Shore always says, be dry, be confident, Be you. This week in Newsies Niche, I had the honor of talking with my friend Barney about his kink, clown play. We talk about how he discovered this kink, how he engages in it, and some misconceptions people have about it. So put on your red nose and your big shoes as we go under the big top and learn about clown play.
I knew I was turned on by clowns, like, before I even knew what sex was. When I learned what sex was, I was like, ugh, that doesn't sound very interesting. Why?
There's no clowns here. What the hell?
There's no, yeah, what the fuck? There's no clowns. Yeah, then I had kind of like a very confused moral panic that lasted a little while. And
please explain to me how you knew you were turned on by clowns. Like, did you go to the circus? Were you online? Please explain to me.
It was mostly the internet. I think it was one of those things where they kind of bewildered me. Like, as a kid, I saw them so rarely, but when I did, I didn't know what to make of them. And kind of the same with like costumed characters or mascots or anything like that. They kind of just weirded me out. And I was equally, I think, mortified by the idea of being like pulled up on stage for some gag in, you know, a theatrical production or anything like that, but also kind of secretly wanted it to happen. And wanted to make people laugh and wanted to be confident being silly and goofy in front of other people. And I don't know. I think it just turned from being kind of weirded out by clowns to then just fascinated and like Googling pictures of clowns and just being mesmerized. And I think that just turned into like sexuality for me.
I like how it's multidimensional. You were saying how, right, you could have been phobic, but then it dived into, it sounds like a bit of like a humiliation kind of thing, and then you explored it more.
Oh, yeah. Humiliation is kind of the core of it for me. If you look up like humiliation kink stuff, that always really bothered me because like what you'll find is very, very different to the kind of humiliation that I'm after, which is sillier, goofier, you know, kind of being the butt of the joke, being laughed at, you know, as if, you know, by a crowd or something like that. So, you know, pies in the face and slapstick, as opposed to, you know, being spat on and pissed on and called a bitch or whatever, which is kind of what I found when originally I started looking and I was like, wow, this isn't what I want.
I guess I'm still trying to wrap my head. Paint the picture for me. How old were you and what were you looking up on the internet that led you down to looking up clowns? Because I don't remember ever looking up clowns as a kid. And so I'm just kind of trying to wrap my head around it. Paint me the picture.
It was one of the first things I Googled because I already knew that I already had this fascination and I just had to see more. I just had to see pictures. I just had to understand it.
Was the first clown picture that you looked up a sexual clown or was it your typical clown picture?
Yep. Typical circus clown. And that for me is like very sexy. That to me is like very sexual. I've never really been attracted to the things that most people would quote unquote consider like sexy. It's always to me been about like the ridiculous costume and the bulbous big red nose, big shoes, big belly, whatever it is, like painted face, that the like heightened ridiculousness, that has always been the thing that's been a real turn on for me. And so clowning is then eventually in like my early 20s, the humiliation side of it is what eventually got me into ABDL.
So are we saying that the more ridiculous the clown outfit, you know, the bigger the nose, the bigger the shoes, yeah, the crazier the hair, more the turn on for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And when you're in this clown space, how ridiculous do you get?
Pretty ridiculous. I mean, I think I had such trepidation, you know, it's a long road kind of accepting this part of myself. So the first few times I met up with people, I think I was still quite reserved and really nervous. And think like with any headspace, you really need to have a good net of trust around you. You really need to feel comfortable and safe to just let go. And even more so with clowning, it's also like, we're here to be silly and goofy.
Talk to me about getting into the headspace. For being an ABDL, getting into that headspace is kind of rooted in a memory, right? Like we all have an idea of what it is to be a kid, and people that are into piss play, right? We piss every day, so it's not that hard to kind of get into that headspace. How do you get into a clown headspace if that is something that, most people don't usually do on a daily basis?
Props and costumes, really. Like, I would say, like, the transformative element. It's a bit like, I guess, it's a bit like doing something like drag. Like, once you completely transform yourself and you see yourself in the mirror, the rest of it kind of comes. And, or like, just slipping on a pup hood even immediately makes me feel different. And it's the same thing with putting on a clown nose or putting on big shoes. That's always the way that like immediately gets me into the headspace. But again, it's like all kinks, you don't need to have all the props and the elements.
Talk to me about that, because what happens if, let's say, I wanted to get into clown play, and of course I don't have any of the stuff to do it. How do you clown around when you don't have that stuff? The big red nose or the big shoes? How do you begin that?
That was my life really for until I left home. I would like steal little bits and bobs, put little costume bits together, just anything that made me feel silly. Like I remember I had like a prop policeman's hat and like somewhere along the line I ended up with a rainbow wig and stuff like that. I just anything that I could do. Oh, the red wax that baby bells are concealed in? Do you have baby bells in America?
I don't know what you're talking
Oh.
about.
Oh, it's a cheese. It's like a little
Oh,
round.
yes.
You
It's
know what I mean?
it's cheese within the wax thing. Yes, I understand.
So I would take that red wax and form it into a clown nose because I didn't have one. Get whatever you can and go from there. And if you like it and you really get into it, then build on it.
When you met up with, because recently we were just talking before this interview that you met up with a friend recently, is that kind of like the introduction when you have an experience with another clownster? Is putting on the nose the equivalent of like putting on a diaper? That's like the
Oh
beginning
yeah.
of the play.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. The nose for me is like such a core, it's my favorite part. There's just something about it that's so, I guess, because it's on your face and you can't ignore it and it's so ridiculous. I love, yeah.
Nice. All right. So we've gone over that your first experience of it was looking up clown pictures. You obviously knew that you were turned on by this. What was your first experience like meeting another clownster?
Yeah, it took me a while to actually meet anyone in person because I don't know, I was really nervous about actually doing anything in like I would do like a lot of cam sessions, a lot of stuff over Skype and things like that. And also because the only people I could find were actually quite far away from me, it really helped to kind of put that distance, that boundary. But yeah, I was training to be an actor, so I just kind of accepted that I would bury this part of myself. I would have like my real life and then this secret kink life, and I completely bifurcated my whole life that way. And so it wasn't until early last year that I actually met up with someone for the first time, and him and I had fallen out during the pandemic because we had been talking for 10 years almost.
Wow.
And yeah, we had phone calls, we'd long messages, we'd shared pictures, we'd cammed, we'd done all the stuff. We at this point knew each other quite well, and there's several people like that I have that same relationship with, because I started talking to people in, you know, my late teens, and I've just kept in contact. And yeah, I just didn't want to meet. I was so afraid of getting blackmailed, I suppose. I don't know. I was so afraid of this secret that I had coming out and jeopardizing my life somehow. That actually happened to a friend of mine. His boyfriend, and like went on his clown Facebook, like found his clown Facebook with a friend of his, and like they showed it to people. And I remember that happening to him and thinking that is the most terrifying thing I could possibly imagine happening. Cut to now, where he says, "Oh yeah, like I'm actually still friends with him," and it turned out to not be a big deal. Like it's just a mildly interesting anecdote sometimes, but no one really cares. No one really cared. No one really remembers. It just, I was so, if the worst thing that I could imagine happening is that somebody told my family what I was into and I was embarrassed, I think I'm doing okay. And I think anyone that would leverage that against anyone, like that's the person it'll reflect badly on. And there's no one in my life who wouldn't be accepting. I didn't see anyone growing up who told me that this was okay. I didn't see anyone modeling like any kind of self-acceptance towards something so out there. And I kind of resented the kinksters that were visible because I felt like I didn't even fit in with them. You know, I saw the pups and I was like, ugh, that's like so normalized, like nobody's gonna be into what I'm into. And turns out I couldn't have been more wrong. Everyone wants to try it now.
Right. So you've talked to this person for over 10 years because you're having this duality in your head of, you know, I don't want to be outed. I could be outed. This could be bad for me. And then you finally met up with that person. What was it like to meet up for the first time? What did you do?
We went to this town and, you know, we got to know each other, and it was like a nice little getaway. It was really brilliant. Like it was amazing to finally get to be in the same room, and there was already like so much history between us. It didn't feel as if, you know, there was anything missing. It was as if we'd already done it. It really just felt completely normal. And actually getting fully clowned up and playing was just, yeah, incredible.
What does that mean? Clown play. Like, you know, when you meet up with other diaper boys or diaper kiddos, you know, that it means putting on a diaper and soaking them. You know, when you're in pup play, it means putting on the mask. What does it mean to clown play?
I mean, exactly what it says on the tin, just being a silly clown, slapstick routines, goofing around. I play with pies sometimes. Sometimes I tie a guy up with squeaky balloons. I've babied guys to circus music, lots of yucking and honking and tit for tat, like kind of slapsticky stuff, pieing each other. You know, sometimes just putting on a big red nose and some doofy clown shoes, you know, for a, or then adding something else into it, like some pup gear or a diaper, and having a hump is, you know, sometimes that's enough. Embarrassment's my whole thing. So like the goofier, doofier, sillier, funnier, more humiliating, the better.
What's the most humiliating thing you've done in while clowning around?
Oh my God. I've had air pumped up inside me and then the farts squeezed out of me. That was a contender. I mean, being pied is always kind of a good one, especially because guys that are into pies come up with more and more creative ways of making that humiliating. Like this guy absolutely destroyed me with pies.
You said
And
that so
then
sexually, I was kind of turned on for a sec. He destroyed me with pies.
it was really hot. And he then patted me as well.
Would you say that clown play and ABDL go well with each other?
Totally. Well, because I came into ABDL from a humiliation standpoint. So for me, originally ABDL was like a complete turn off. I wasn't into it at all. And then one day, a clown made me call him daddy. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I can get behind that. And then I thought, well, oh, like inflatable diapers that like force you to waddle. That's really embarrassing. That's kind of cool. And I thought, oh, actually, like, the rest of, I guess, like, big dummies and baby clothes, that's pretty humiliating. And then I tried a nappy for the first time, and originally I didn't like to wet in them. But then when I did, I was like, oh wow, this is brilliant. And then I went to my first ABDL event and came away with like a ton more kinks. I had never worn for that long. I like was made to sniff diapers. I had my pee rubbed on my face. These are all things that like I thought would be complete turn-offs that I wouldn't like at all. The smell of pee like was a turn-off when I arrived and a huge turn-on by the time I left. So I think they go, for me, it's just natural that they go hand in hand. It's very rare actually that I will engage in ABDL play that has no clowning element. And kind of same for most of the stuff I'll get up to. I really like combining them. So like if I'm gonna engage in any kind of bondage, I want it to be silly. Like, I've tied people up with a string of handkerchiefs before, and like there's modeling balloons, the long ones that like you can twist, like twisting balloons. Those are great to like tie people up with. And there's all kinds of things. I also feel like it lends itself to putt play a lot because the headspace I think is very similar. Like when two pups get together and they're just mucking about and being silly and bouncy, and that to me is just like what clowning is. It's just kind of goofing around. So I like mixing them. I originally, when I started exploring each, I kept them very separate, but
Now you mix them together.
yeah, they all come together. And like we all, it's funny to me how we all come from our own unique niche, but then you start trying other people's kinks and you like them for your own reasons, and then they all kind of blur together. Like I feel there's so many people that have now gotten into clowning but came at it from a completely different place.
Right. It's interesting how all kinks in themselves overlap, and how you can find a different kink by going, they're like doors, right? Like you can just go through different doors, and eventually you'll find another kink, and you're like, oh, I didn't know those doors were connected, but very interesting.
I everything that I've said was a hard limit, I have since gone on to do and loved. So I'm almost a bit afraid of what I'll do
What else you'll
next.
find? So it sounds like clown play is a very humiliating, childish kind of thing. Does it get sexual, or does it, or does it,
Oh yeah.
or does, oh, it does.
Oh yeah. I mean, for me, I think it doesn't always have to be humiliating. I think for a lot of people, it can be a lot of what putt play is, which is like the freedom, the like reckless abandon. You don't have to think. You can turn your brain off and you can be doofy and hilarious and just have a good time. And or like ABDL, you can just switch your brain off and not think like an adult. But for me, it's always been very sexually charged.
I'll have to try it. What about misconceptions, right? I feel like with any kink, there's always a misconception that gets wrapped with it. What are some misconceptions of clown play?
To be honest, clown play is still like it hasn't really permeated the zeitgeist yet. So I don't think there's a lot of misconceptions about it. I think a lot of people that have like that I've spoken to about it who really went into it, the only thing that's come up is they have assumed it's some type of fear play because a lot of people are actually afraid of clowns and they assumed that that was the angle I was going for, that it would be frightening and scary and horrifying, or like that I would like show up and mess with people, which play consists only of consenting acts, right? So there's no world in which, you know, that's happening. That's kind of the only thing really that I've encountered, that people have been like, oh, like, do you dress up like it or like the Joker, or you know, is it meant to be kind of horrifying? Which for some people, it is, but it's just really fun. It's just really silly and stupid. There's nothing serious about sex anyway, so why not have fun and get weird with it?
Weirder the better.
Weirder the better.
You brought up the Joker. Has the Joker and, we had the Christopher Nolan, Heath Ledger Joker. We now have the new Joker and this new Batman. Has that affected the kink in any way?
What I think it's done is it's affected clowns in general in popular culture. I think there's been a bit of a resurgence where people are more desensitized to it because it's things like the Joker. I mean, both Joaquin Phoenix and Heath Ledger have basically made that character very cool and a Halloween icon. So, especially actually the most recent one, because he actually has a red nose, which the Joker has never had. So I really like that. That's the thing I always thought was missing from the Joker.
So we've talked about how it took you a long time to finally meet up with someone. If someone's discovering this kink, what allowed you to finally accept yourself? What would you tell someone who is discovering this kink and are probably having the same feelings you were having?
You're not nearly as weird as you think you are. The hardest part, really, I think, about any road to self-acceptance is that you can intellectually know that other people in the world like you exist. You can be surrounded by those people and still feel completely alone because only when you really learn to love and appreciate and honor that part of yourself and let yourself indulge in it. Let yourself say, hey, I'm a clown. You know, let yourself really enjoy that parts of yourself. We're not taught enough, and this applies to any kink, we're not taught enough that these parts of ourselves are not just parts to not be ashamed of. These are actually really wonderful, brilliant, unique parts of ourselves. And realizing that is what completely changed my life, to be honest. I really resented this part of myself. I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought this was something I needed to bury, something I needed to change. And knowing that that wasn't true still wasn't enough. It really took me getting to the point where I realized, oh, actually, I love this part of myself. That self-acceptance didn't really happen for me until I had seen people embracing themselves. My first event was an ABDL event, and it blew my mind just sitting there and looking around at all of these like big diaper babies just being themselves and enjoying this part of themselves and it being completely normal. And that was when I came home, quit my job, decided that this was the world I wanted to live in full time. I think there just needs to be more of us modeling that kind of self-acceptance. Because until we see people like us and we see people like us appreciating these parts of themselves, we don't know that it's okay to. And that is kind of, I think, child logic, but you need to see it. It's no wonder that there are so many people who just go through their lives never enjoying these things they've always wanted to enjoy. And it's crazy to me that that at one point was the solution that I decided was what I was going to do. I just didn't see anyone around me who was like me, and I didn't know that I could live my life the way I wanted to. So I guess that's my long-winded version of saying that you can. It's kind of a cliche, actually, but you can have it all. You can have the experiences and relationships you want to have in your life, and the people who have a problem with it, honestly, are not worth having in your life.
Right. And I think that's why, Twitter, Tumblr, representation showing off your kink is so important, not only for you, right? Like
Huge.
you're able to self-express what you enjoy, and that gives you, I'm pretty sure, just as diapers are a mental reset for me, clowning around is a mental reset for you, right? It,
Totally.
I can only imagine that it teaches you not to take yourself so seriously, right? Because you're
Oh,
moving
yeah.
around and everything. And so it's so important to post these pictures on Twitter and Tumblr, because then someone who's thinking about it, like, oh, maybe I am alone, see your pictures and are like, oh my gosh, I want to try it.
And every single, I mean, the purge comes for clowns a lot. There are guys who I have seen over the years. They make their profile, they delete it, they get rid of everything, they come back again. Yeah, I don't know. The representation, out in the world makes such a difference. And it just makes it that little bit more okay to be yourself.
Have you had people message you and saying like, oh my gosh, I've never met another clown. Can you please tell me more?
So many people. So many people. It wasn't until I discovered Recon, which somehow I've been on FetLife since I was like too young to be on FetLife. But I had somehow never heard of Recon. Last year I joined. Within 10 days, I had one of the like one of the guys who was running it messaged me and was like, oh, would love you to write an article. This is super interesting. And I've only just written it because I was way too shy at the time. But like pretty much every day for months, or like every other day, something like that, I would get a message and it would either be, I've always been into this. I can't believe, there's someone else. And their profile will have nothing to do with clowning. It'll always be some other kink. Or people would just say, wow, I never even considered that, but now I've just got to try it. So many people. And then so many people as well who are just like, oh yeah, never thought about that. I'll give it a go. And now I love it. I've got like a bunch of new recruits. Over the past few months I've amassed a little clown army.
Wow.
Converted several guys.
Just converting people into clowns left and right.
Which is also really fun. Like there's that transformation element is anyone with a transformation kink, I think would really appreciate that. Like looking in the mirror and seeing something else, like turning someone else into a clown is so much fun.
What is like a bucket list item when it comes to clowning, that you're like, I still need to do this, and it's on my to-do list that I really want to experience.
Oh, well, one, I really want to make a clown event happen. But the fantasy is having a group of clowns and like doing something where Like I really want to get ganged up on by like a bunch of circus clowns.
That sounds
Give me the
terrifying. But to you, that
Yeah,
probably sounds really hot. Gangbanged by a group of
really hot.
clowns?
Yeah, like as in, being tied up and tickled and humiliated and pied and made fun of and laughed at and fucked and yeah.
Have you never been with a group of clowns? Is that not a thing?
No.
Whoa.
Well, it's been hard. Like I've never been able to get more than one in a room.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. And it goes back to that whole importance of like telling people what you're into so that you can pick them out, right? Like we have
Yeah.
so many pup events and diaper events are slowly making their way into reality where there's like, more
Yeah.
than 10 in a room. Wow, well, I really hope for that for you.
Yeah. Well, so do I. Just gotta make it happen, I guess.
You just have to make it
Can't,
happen.
yeah. Can't just sit around and hope it will.
So for like ABDLs, right, the fantasy is to be babied 24/7. But you can't be a professional baby, right? Like can't just sit around all day and not do anything. But there are professional clowns. Is that an aspiration for, I'll call them clownsters, is to be a clown professionally?
For some people, I think it's okay. This is actually quite a hot button topic at the moment because I know a lot of clowns who are just as into the art of clowning as they are the kink side of it. And a lot of them have very much felt like they could only have one or the other. And if they're going to be a professional clown, then the kink kind of has to go. It has to be this. Somehow that has to no longer exist, and vice versa. And so I just think that shouldn't have to be the case. There are so many, well, because think about it as well, like how many times in especially clowns who are like traveling or like the Ringling clowns where they just lived on that train traveling around the States. It must just be, an occupational hazard. You do stuff and makeup, whatever. For how many is it more than that, or does it become more than that? And it was funny to me to get responses online from a Cirque du Soleil clown. I got messaged by a couple of Ringling clowns as well, formal ones, who saw my art and said, "Wow, that's so cool," or "That's so hot," and "Oh, I recognized, who's it's, you drew their makeup," and I thought they would, if anything, be kind of offended, that I'm kind of bastardizing their art. But no, they thought it was really cool, and I don't think one detracts from the other. I definitely have become a lot more interested in the artistic theatrical side of clowning. And like you can clown around for adults and it doesn't always have to be kinky and it doesn't always have to be vanilla. I don't see why it couldn't be both ways. There are definitely people who for whom this is all they want to do. They want to be a pro clown and a kinky clown. I happen to know of one such person who is very, very guarded, and I completely understand and respect why, because the tricky thing about it is it would be easy if, being a clown was like any other profession, but unfortunately, most of the time it's directed towards families and kids, and so there's
Is that a tricky
I really
subject?
yeah like I really sympathize because they're different things. I mean, it's like anything. It's like you can enjoy something in more than one way, and the context in which you are performing is completely different. If you're performing in front of a crowd, families, that kind of thing, it's completely different from doing something, two adults getting up to goofy, kinky stuff on their own. But obviously, not enough people would see that difference, and I think, yeah, it's hard to
Right. It almost comes down
marry
to
those.
an intention, right? Like,
Yeah.
you brought up how, the professional person, their intent is to entertain,
Right.
where when you're clowning around, your intent is to be goofy and humiliated, and that's the turn on, and then that's where the kink comes into play.
Right, yeah. ABDL, is no stranger to the negative associations that people very ignorantly assume. And I think it's the same with clowning because it's seen as such a traditionally, children's entertainment. But yeah, I wish I could be a full-time clown. And just yeah, live that life. There was so many times in my life where I didn't know if I just wanted to be a clown, and that's why I was so into it. And maybe if just being a clown would actually mean it became more of a professional thing than a sexual thing. But I don't know. That's not an easy job.
No, probably not. Let's turn now really quickly before we end. Let's turn now to your artwork. Because you do
Yes.
commissions and stuff. Do you
I
what's
do.
your favorite thing? What's your like go-to thing to draw?
Clowns. I've always drawn, and I somehow never realized that I could combine that with kink. And so I started out by I made an Instagram and I just drew what I wanted to happen. So I drew a lot of clowns. Actually, one of my first drawings is a group of clowns hypnotizing and babying and clowning a guy. Lots of clowns diapering guys, that kind of thing. And then from there, I just started picking up commissions. So I'll draw pretty much whatever anyone wants me to draw. Which, for the most part, people come to me with their sort of sillier, wackier things. So it's normally ABDL or pup or clown or at least like pie or humiliation based. So
And if they
yeah,
if you if they wanted to get a commission from you, where could they find you?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter under the name The Muckle Stoter. I'm at T Stoter on Twitter and the underscore muckle underscore stoter on Instagram.
Very cool. And then last thing, because I've heard you say it a couple times in this interview, you brought up when you're beginning your clown play, yuck and stuff like that. Is there,
Shook.
how do you do it?
Well, it's like sound it out, like HYUCK, right? It's like Huyuk.
Yuck. I did it. Did I do
Yeah,
it?
you did it. Yeah, you totally
I
did
did it. There you
it.
go.
You're
All
a
right.
clown
I'm a clown now. Thank you, Barney, for
now.
coming to Newsy's Nook.
Thank you for having me.
All right, kiddos, enough clowning around. I have a big announcement. Diaper Active is this month. The theme is pink versus blue. It is happening April 30th at 9 p.m. at the Bullet Bar in North Hollywood in the LA area. There is a $5 cover charge. So which team will you be on? Pink or blue? All right, kiddos, I am leaking all over the place. I gotta go change. See ya. Bye.